We're in this series called... Oh, it's right on the screen. Thank you, Lord. And here's the gist of what we're talking about. We're the church. And when we say we're the church, we've got to have some pride behind it. We've got to stand up and say, we're the church. Say it again. We're the church. And we're continuing to form our missiology or our understanding of what the church is supposed to look like as we're reading through Acts. Someone say, we're the church. We're the movement that brings hope in the darkest hour. We're the movement that brings freedom to the oppressed. We bring shapes to countries. We bring provision to the needy. We bring direction to the lost. We bring sight to the blind. We bring comfort to the hurting. We're the movement that changed the world, led by King Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bowing only to the will of the Father. Someone say amen.
Amen.
We are the church. It's who we are. A couple weeks ago, we were looking at this pattern that we saw in the book of Acts. This pattern where we see the power of God on display. We've been seeing this process within the book of Acts, where we've been seeing the power of God on display, but we've been seeing something that has to happen before we see the power of God on display. Do you guys remember what that was? There was something preceding. We see the power of God on display, but always within these first several chapters of Acts, there's something that happens before that. It is a unified pursuit of God. There was unity in the body of Christ. There was unity in the mind of God, in the heart of God. There's unity, and unity always was preceding the move of God. Would you turn to someone and say, "We're in this together." And if we're truly in this together, as a church, as a community, as a people, as the body of Christ, if we're truly in this together, then we've got to know what it is that we're doing and how it is that we're doing it. You know, there's a reason why we play the video at the beginning of every service. There's a reason. And that reason is, number one, hospitality. So as we see new faces, it tells a little bit of what we're about and what you can expect with service and how we truly want to get to know you and we want to be with you. But it also talks about who we are and what we do. We exist to make disciples of Jesus Christ who are transforming the world around us in the power of God. This is who we are. This is our mission. Everything that we do, every program, every outreach is all scrutinized through this process of, is this helping us to be and to make disciples who are transforming the world in the power of God? And if it doesn't, say, you're dead. Right, we cut it off at the root. It just doesn't fit with who we are. And if we're truly into seeing the power of God, anybody into seeing the power of God on display?
Amen.
So we got 3, 4. Can I get a five? I got a 6, 6, 6, 6. Right, we are in this together to see the power of God on display, because the same God who's in the Bible is the same God who's alive right here and now, and doing the same things that He did in the Bible that He does today. That's our God. You know, the only two people who didn't see the next display of the power of God were Ananias and Sapphira, because they were out of unity with the body. In fact, it went even deeper than that. There was a disunity in their Lord, right? You can't love God and money. They can't both be your Lord. And they saw both of them as their Lord. And as a result, they lied, so they died, right? That was the message that I wasn't going to preach a couple weeks ago. As we move into this week and helping understand where it is that we're going in this next text, we got to understand the plan. Someone say plan.
Plan.
Me and my brother, Andrew, we watched a lot of movies when we were younger, like Major Payne and Three Little Ninjas and Dennis the Menace. And they always had this thing in common. There would always be like bad guys coming against them. And they would always be like, all right, I got a plan. Right. And so my brother and I would always do that. We'd always be like, all right, I got a plan. And we'd formulate, and if bad guys ever come, we're going to do this and do this and do this. And it was awesome. And they were pretty epic things. But sometimes when we made a plan, they didn't always work. Right. Here's the cool thing about God. When God makes a plan, someone say it's going to work.
It works.
It's going to work. When God makes a plan, it's going to work. So here's God's plan. And you can look at this plan from a number of different ways and explain it from a number of different texts. Here's the one that I chose. Here's the plan. Every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess and give praise to God. We see this a little bit more vaguely in Isaiah's words in Isaiah 45:23. It says, "By myself I've sworn, from my mouth has gone out in righteousness a word that shall not return. To me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear allegiance." And then this is an Old Testament concept that is brought into the New Testament in fuller truth and further clarity in the words of Paul. It says in Philippians 2:9-11, "Therefore God has highly exalted and bestowed on him the name that is above every other name, so that at the name of
Jesus,
we're in church, that's the answer. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This is the master plan. And we live in this time period where the God of creation is sitting here and he's saying, "Daughter, son, come. Come. Come to me." We live in this time period where God is welcoming and calling and drawing us towards him. As Brenda was saying, while we were still sinners, while God's over here saying, "Come," and we're saying, "No," right? We're running in the other direction. He still paid the price for our sins so that we could be in relationship with him. We live in this period of God's drawing and him reaching towards us. There's transformative power in our yes. There's transformative power in our yes, but there will come a day when that trumpet sounds and Jesus returns in the clouds and the angels come and separate from those who believe in Christ and those who don't believe in Christ to heaven and hell, respectively. There will be no second chance. There will be no purgatory. Only those who in this lifetime believed in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and are saved by grace through faith. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And that's the plan. That's God's plan.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
And if God makes a plan, it's going to happen.
Right.
It's going to happen. But we also need to know that there's another plan going on. That there is a very real enemy. And Satan does have a plan. And his plan is to thwart the plan of God. It's trying to come against that. And so with this understanding, I want to jump into our text for this week, Acts 5:17-42. And for reading that, I'd like to invite Nevaeh up, please. And we may need a mic. There we are.
Did I turn it on?
I did.
Can you read it?
Go ahead.
But the high priest rose up and all who were with him, that is the part of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people of all the words of this life." And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council, all the senate of the people of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison. So they returned and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests had heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. And someone came and told them, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council and the high priest, questioned them, saying, "We strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Yet here you are, filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Thaddeus rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or their undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for this name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. Lord, I just want to pray that you use Ben's message to teach us the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Well, we left off last week, or the week before, with God performing signs and wonders to the apostles. Someone say, "Give me some of that."
Give me some of that.
And it got to the point where people were actually bringing the sick into the streets just to be touched by the shadow of Peter, believing that they would be healed. And as this is taking place, I mean, that's powerful. Maybe we need someone to jump up and down for that. That's pretty cool. I thought it was pretty cool. But just imagine the shaking and the rumbling that's taking place in this society as this is happening. Imagine what it would look like to happen here on Casino Road, here in South Everett, right? I need an amen for that, because that's what we're after, folks. That's what I want to see. I want to see that everywhere I go. I see some people going, "Yes, yes, 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 let's go do it right now. Give me 15 more minutes, then you can go." As this is all happening within this society, the church is continuing to grow. And you got to know that as a church or as a people or as a group is growing, the more people that are added to it, the more haters are going to rise up in opposition, right? And so these haters are rising up, these people who are opposing what they're doing. And it says in Acts 5:17, says, "But the high priest rose up and all who were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees, and they were filled with jealousy." And this is a common thread within the people of Israel. It's a common theme as you look through the landscape of what's going on in the people of Israel throughout their days is jealousy. It's cultural, it's societal, it's deeply embedded in who they are. And essentially, these Sadducees are just being jealous of these people growing and them lacking some of their voice and their movement within the society. And I was just thinking of this when I sat with the Lord and just feeling like, okay, jealousy. And the Lord just stopped me. And he was saying this: know that jealousy is only allowed to show up where comparison is allowed. And comparison is only allowed when you lose sight of what God has called you to do in your life. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Know that jealousy only shows up where comparison is allowed. And comparison is only allowed where one loses sight of what God has called them to do in their specific life. So if I'm called to be me, but I'm looking over there, I want to be like you, that means I've lost sight of what God's called me to do. And I just feel like that brings some freedom to someone in this room this morning. You've been feeling jealousy in your life, looking at other people saying, man, I wish I was more like that. I wish I was more like Ben. I wish I had that hair. I wish I had that facial hair. I wish I could do that. I wish I had that style. Maybe it's not Ben. Maybe it's the other Ben. I don't even know. But you're feeling that way towards other people. And you're like, man, and you even know, man, this isn't right. And you combat yourself with it. This isn't right. I'm not supposed to live this way. Here it is. You need to know who God has called you to do. We need you to be you. As the body of Christ, we need you to be you. We don't need a whole bunch of pinkies. That's not my pinky. That's my pinky. We don't need a whole bunch of pinkies running around as the body of Christ. We need a pinky connected to a hand, connected to an arm, connected to a body. We need you to be you, the way that God has created you to be. And so jealousy should have no place within the body of Christ because you're comparing, which means that you've lost sight of what God has called you to do and who God has called you to be.
Amen.
So hold on to it. Figure out what God has called you to be and what God has called you to do. Hold on to that vision. Even through the hard times, when you're feeling that pressure, you just press through. Press on. Keep on keeping on. Okay, someone say amen. I'm done.
Yes.
But these Sadducees, and my favorite joke, Victor's not in here right now, but he had this joke. He said, they're sad, you see. I'm all in for dad jokes. If you got them, send them my way. Even though I'm in Idaho, send them my way. I love them. They are sad, you see. And they're jealous of this new church that's forming. And so they bring these guys to be arrested. And man, as they're arrested, this angel shows up to the jail cell and sets them free from the jail cell, which is mind-boggling. And he tells them to keep preaching the gospel the very next morning at daybreak. So it's not like, oh, sweet, I get to sleep in. No, I'm on a mission. I got to do what God's calling me to do, and I got to do it now. Right? So they wake up first thing in the morning, and they are there. They're preaching the gospel. And, man, when they were supposed to be locked up, and the Sadducees were like, wait, they're supposed to be locked up, but they're preaching the gospel. There's this saying here, and I had to stop here in Acts 5:24. It says, they were greatly perplexed about them. They were greatly perplexed at what had just taken place. And this just made me think, man, the enemy must feel this way a lot. Right? He must feel greatly perplexed because he's always trying to do stuff to get in our way and to stop us. But if we're saying, no, God's way is the best way, I'm going to follow God no matter what, then we're ending up over here when we're supposed to be behind chains and we're supposed to be behind bars and we're supposed to be all held up, except we're free over here declaring the gospel. That's my life story. Anybody else in here have that story? If it isn't, it should be.
Amen.
The enemy gets perplexed at us sometimes. And Peter's response to them as they go back to the council is just pretty powerful. He says, we must obey God rather than men.
Amen.
We must obey. Write that on your heart, folks. We must obey God rather than men. We've got a lot of influences. We've got a lot of well-meaning influences even. But if what you're doing is influenced more by what people are saying rather than what God's saying, you need to take a time out and go straight to the source of who's calling you to do what. As they're trying to figure out what to do with these guys, there was a man that rose up, and his name was Gamaliel. Now, a very small number of the Sadducees were also Pharisees, and Gamaliel is one of those who was very studied, a very well-known rabbi in this day, and he's actually one, probably the most prominent of the rabbis during this time. He was known also and stated elsewhere as the rabbi of a man named Saul, who would later be known to us by the Apostle Paul. And so what Gamaliel says next clearly backs up his reputation for being this wise teacher. He says, here's the case that I present to you in Acts 5:38. keep away from these men and just leave them alone. For if this plan is an undertaking of man, it's going to fail. But if it's of God, then you're not going to be able to overthrow it. You might even be opposing to God, right? If God is doing this, it's going to happen. And I just took this encouragement to back up some further theology that we've held tightly to as a church during our time together. It's this theology and this truth that what we're doing is not accomplished by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Right? Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Psalms 37:5, commit your way to the Lord, trust Him and He will act. In terms that we could more readily understand, Gamaliel is saying this, if God sets you in motion, you can't stop this. And that's the name of my message this morning. If it's God's will, if it's God's plan, if it's God's way, if it's God's timing, you can't stop this. Would you turn to your neighbor and say, you can't stop this? That's right. You can't stop this. Why? Because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Because he who is in me is greater than him who is in the world. Right? You take these things and you... What is it? What's the saying? Gird up your loins? I don't know if we still do that, but...
Ben does.
Okay.
Only when running ahead of the chariots.
So I want to utilize some of these messages just to bring a couple practical points to where we're at as a church currently in this season. And the first point is this. We, South Everett Foursquare Church, God has set us in motion. God has set this church in motion. It was nearly 3 years ago now where Pastor Josh had just left. And the question was being asked, what should be done with South Everett Foursquare Church? There's been amazing things that's been done here. Amazing fruit for the kingdom of God have taken place because of the faithfulness of this church. What should be done with this church now? And after a short time of Pastor Don transitioning, I got to show up. And when I showed up, it was a lovely group of people, passionate about Jesus. And there didn't seem to be a whole lot of ministry teams in place. There didn't seem to be a lot of clear and easily articulated mission and vision. There didn't seem to be a plan outside of, let's keep this thing going. God started it, let's keep this going.
That's right.
And we've come a long way.
Yes, we have.
Church, we've come a long way. We've got people overseeing areas of ministry. We know what we're doing, how we're doing it, where we're going. We scrutinize everything that we do to see that it fits within our mission. Most importantly, we're seeing people give their lives to Jesus. We're seeing people empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. We're seeing people walk in power. I remember some of the first days after the youth started coming to our church, y'all took a bus down to Seattle or something and saw someone on the bus and just started praying for them or talking to them about Jesus or something. I'm like, yes! Right? We're seeing people transformed by the power of God. God's doing some stuff. Now, don't get it twisted. I'm not bragging about what Ben did, right? I'm bragging about what God did.
That's right.
I'm bragging about His faithfulness. It's important to keep that straight because I've seen churches that are formed around one man. And when that one man leaves, everything falls. This is a church that's built on the man.
That's right. Jesus.
That has firm leadership structure. So, just because God has called me on, that doesn't mean that this stops. God is going to keep this going.
Amen.
Based on the man. God has set us in motion, so you can't stop this. My second point, as we have like 6 minutes left, is that we trade opposition for strength. This is just a part of kingdom economics. As we walk within the kingdom of God, we get to trade the opposition that is against us for strength. Just watch how this happens within this chapter in Acts. The apostles are thrown in jail, and then the angel shows up to break them out and gives them further strength. Go out! Go, go, go! And then they're brought before the people to be judged, before the Pharisees, and then they're strengthened in their own resolve to say, God's word. It's better than man's. His ways are better. And then the apostles are beaten. What do? Woo! Yeah, baby! They rejoice. And then you get to the end of the chapter, and the very next chapter in chapter 6 says the church continues to grow. We trade our opposition for strength. We sung about this morning. What's that song called, Sovereign Over Us? It's a good song. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." This church has seen opposition, even to the point where the enemy may have a momentary victory, but God's plans are bigger. His ways are bigger. I've got to talk to some of our past pastors of this church. They've certainly seen opposition. This may feel like a little bit of opposition for me to be leaving, but guess what? Our opposition gets to be turned into strength, because that's kingdom economics.
Amen.
That's how this works. If God set this in motion and we're trading our opposition for strength, someone shout, "Can't stop this.
Can't stop this.
Can't stop this." We're going to keep on pushing. But to be living in kingdom economics requires that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. If that's to be our economic system, we've got to be led by the will of God. We must obey God rather than man. In coming to South Everett Foursquare, I obeyed God's voice. There was a peace as I prayed, should Alicia and I come to South Everett Foursquare to pastor? I obeyed God's voice. In setting up ministry teams, I obeyed God's voice. I sat with each leader and I prayed with them and listened to what their strengths are, what they like to do, all of this stuff, and everything kind of found their place. In setting vision and mission and identity, I simply sat before the Lord, listened for God to tell us who we are. So the vision of a transformed Casino Road, of a transformed South Everett, of a transformed world around us isn't a Ben vision. You have to know this. This is not a Ben vision. This is our vision.
That's right. Amen.
This is our vision. Church, this is who you are. You're hope to this community. You are salt and light to this community. You are Jesus walking to this community. You are Jesus preaching to this community. You are Jesus healing to this community. You're Jesus flipping the world upside down to this community. I've got a stack of note cards that say, "I am a South Everett Foursquare missionary," from most of the people in this room. Are you still that? Are you still that?
Yes.
Would you stand with me? If you are still that, would you shout with me, "You can't stop this."
You can't stop this.
Say it again. You can't stop this.
You can't stop this.
You can't stop this.
You can't stop this.
Father, we declare in the name of Jesus that we are a church built on You, that we are a church filled by Your Holy Spirit, a church that is empowered by Your Holy Spirit. And so we just submit everything before You, God. Whatever Your will is, may it be done. May it be done, Lord. We are Yours. I simply do as I do every morning, God. I stand before You here and say, "Have it all. Have everything You see here and everything inside of me. Have it all." And as a church, we say the same thing. Whatever Your will be done, let it be done. Let it be done, oh God. And if we could declare this together in the name of Jesus, we would say, amen. Amen. And You can't stop this. Love you guys. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to a podcast from South Everett Foursquare Church. For more information about us, please visit us online at www.southeverett.org.